light beer, diet cola, the Vancouver Canucks. It's hard for him to decide which one he hates the most. This is the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Well, we know where we're going, but we don't know where we've been. And we know what we're knowing, but we can't say what we've seen. And we're not little children.
I don't know if this is a cause for celebration or not. But if you look at the schedule, you'll see that the Toronto Maple Leafs resume their regular season tonight in New Jersey against the Devils. And it's cause for celebration because we'll have the game in Sportsnet 590 The Fan with Leafs Nation pre- and post-game. We'll have the game in Sportsnet Ontario as well. So that's cause for celebration. Leafs are back at it right here. Right. As a primer for that game, I want to direct you to Gord Stellick's column on Sportsnet.ca about the realities of a Leafs rebuild. It's a terrific read and puts out in all its gory details what a rebuild would entail, how it would be done, and how much of a financial difficulty it will be. Yeah, you know what? Seems like we're right back where we were, doesn't it? Before Brian Burke ushered in the era of truculence. Remember that? And it was truculence, all right. It was truculence as in truck, as in 18-wheeler going over the cliff. Look, I don't think we found out much good about this group of players in the pre-All-Star portion of the regular season. But what the hell? Let's see what the rest of the season holds. I mean, this is going to be like one long science class. What happens if we mix this with that? At which point does this thing freeze or explode or evaporate? And the beauty thing is we get started right out of the gate with a big, big, big experiment. What would happen to the Leafs if we subtracted Dion Phaneuf's minutes out of it? I mean, you just know the Andy Phaneuf crowd is lighting candles right now, hoping for a 3 or 4 game winning streak in the captain's absence, seeing it as a precursor to his exit from the city. We're going to be joined by Mayor John Tory in a few minutes. He's got a budget meeting today, so he's joining us by phone, not in studio. But before that, Mark Osborne will give us his thoughts on what the rest of the season holds and how the Phaneufless Leafs will have to compensate.
The Jeff Blair Show is on the air on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Join the conversation with Jeff on Twitter using the hashtag Blair Show or call 416-870-0590. Hey, now, mom, here's Jeff Blair.
Gonna make you sweat, gonna make you groove.
I mean, can I have a 7 here? 7, right? 7th loss in a row possible tonight for the Leafs. They're in Newark against the New Jersey Devils. Again, we will have the game on Sportsnet 590. The Fan puck drop is at 7:30 with Joe Bowen and Jim Ralph. Gord Stellick, whose column on Sportsnet.ca I just referred to, and Mark Osborne will have our Leafs Nation pregame at 7. That game as well will be on Sportsnet Ontario as part of our Scotiabank Wednesday night hockey presentation. Hockey Central will get you set for the game at 7 o'clock. The game itself will get going just after 7:30. I don't even know really how to approach the second half of the season. I mean, I know, as I said, it's going to be a chemistry experiment. But man, there's just so much hockey left to have to be talking about next year. I mean, think about it. I don't know. I'm trying to think the last 4 years. Maybe. Is this the earliest that we've started talking about next year? We didn't 2 years ago in the lockout shortened year. We didn't last year. Maybe the year before. I mean, it all just runs together. I can't remember it. Seems awfully early to talk about next year. Mark Osborne is co-host of our Leafs Nation pre- and post-game and Hockey Nation of Sportsnet 590 The Fan. He's got about, what, 39 games left of next year to talk about? Oh, God. How you doing?
It's not that many games, Jeff, by the way.
Okay.
They don't have the luxury of five more games. And yes, the only other time that we saw something similar to this was February of the Ron Wilson era,
mm-hmm.
when things were going tickety-boo, moving along pretty well, and then things fell apart at that time. Well, yeah, we're probably even going back to before Christmas with Randy Carlyle's team after, and we've all talked about it, the 10-1-1 streak that they were on. And since then, it's been quite a, you know, in some respects, a mitigated disaster, something that I don't think anybody saw happening or coming. And yet, at the end of the day, it all could be a blessing in disguise. If you care to even look at it that way, that you can glean any positives from what's been happening with the Toronto Maple Leafs. But I think it does. It's caused them to have to really dig deep, look inside. I think the timing of all of this with Brandon Shanahan now being on board these last nine or so months, I think that decisions that do need to be made. This is a great opportunity, I think, for them to seriously take a look at themselves and not make, not try to patch this ship, but to really make a complete overhaul in such a way that I think can be sustainable, not only for getting in the playoffs in the future, but I think really making a shot at being a contender like some of the other organizations that we've been used to seeing over the last number of years.
Mark Osborne joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Mark, as I look at the Leafs right now, as I look at a team that isn't going to have Dion Phaneuf, he's week to week with an upper body injury. Going back to Gord's column, Gord talked about one of the problems with the rebuild that the Leafs face is that two players who factor, you would like to think would factor into this, Nazem Kadri and Cody Franson, are both playing for contracts. Certainly Cody Franson is playing for a contract next year. I've got to think this is a great chance to see whether or not Cody Franson's able to shoulder an extra load with Dion Phaneuf out of the equation.
I mean, that's obviously going to be a great thing to watch and observe, and one of the things I think we can certainly tip our hat off, certainly towards Cody Franson, is here's a player who's arguably been the most consistent Maple Leaf, certainly on the back end. He's always had to play under one-year contractual terms. He's never seemed to have been able to get nurture enough respect in this organization over these last, number of years. And even if you go back to last year, he was there was a contract holdout, a dispute. They were trying to figure out exactly what his value was, and they weren't willing to, sign him to an extended term. And so he's been playing on these year-to-year basis. And at the same time, it's worked now to his advantage, where all of a sudden, being a $3 million defenseman, he could very well almost double the salary. And of course, if he decides to choose the free agency route, and he's in a very favorable position, and that's a good feeling to be. And yet, at the same time, he says how much he likes playing here. He wants to stay here. And that's obviously a lot of positives. And I, in fact, with Dion being out of the lineup, and if you've, I think, seen the maturation of Cody Franson, just the way in which he has answered questions, handled himself, I think there's an appreciation of his frankness with answering questions and being, genuinely honest. Not that any of the other players are not honest, but I think there's a refreshment that's come from listening to a guy like Cody Franson rather than listening to pretty well standard responses from some of the other players or the significant players on the team. So Cody's in a great situation. The Leafs are in not such a good situation, although they do get Peter Holland back, Leo Komarov. You mentioned Dion being on the shelf. And again, before we get to any other questions. How do I read that Gord Stellick article, by the way, like that you keep referring to on he doesn't like this on a rebuild? So I better read that and find that so I can refresh and then be the advocate or then the devil's advocate in response to Gord.
That's on Sportsnet.ca, and it's just it really does kind of lay out what exactly a rebuild would would entail. Yeah, and some of the valid points are, look, you've got to make a decision on Cody France. You've got to make a decision on Nazem Kadri. You've got to make a decision on Jonathan Bernier. and you've got to do that up against the salary cap because you're already paying guys like Bozak, Kessel, Phaneuf, Dave Clarkson.
Yeah, you know what? And when you look and you continue to hear coming to the trade deadline, which will be, I don't know, what have we got, about 5 weeks away before trade deadline, and you even hear the interest level of, why would not teams be interested in guys like Cody France? And Daniel Winnick's name has come up. Mike Santarelli's name's come up. I mean, those are kind of pieces that you add to a team, certainly for the playoff run. There's not a lot of money that goes onto their cap, so there's a lot of enviable players that the Leafs have in their fold that would make any team that's either going for it or in need of players to add depth to their lineup. So I think that the process that the Leafs are going to take is certainly I'm sure the phone lines have been very busy trying to procure some of those players from the Maple Leaf fold right now. And I think there's all sorts of different directions that this Maple Leaf organization can move towards. And yet you really don't know because there's just so many unknowns. Like, do you try to move Dion? Do you try to move Joffrey Lupul? What about those guys that you're talking about, like a Cody France? And what about a Daniel Winnick? Like, there's all sorts of possibilities, and at the end of the day, it's still, I believe, and contrary to Gord's thoughts, it has to be a real good rebuild. And those assets, I think, that you want to keep in order to at least solidify moving forward are, your Morgan Rielly's, your Jonathan Bernier's, Nazem Kadri, for that matter, although my indifference on on Naz, what I feel, a good skilled player, but again, are you going to build around a skilled player? But yet, there are times that I draw away from Naz just because of what I view and what I feel is really important for core and character and leadership. Like, Naz is one of those guys that you can probably take out of your lineup and put into a team that already has solid leadership in front of him. So you're then going to decide if you trade Tyler Bozak, that now does Nazem Kadri become your number one center, and that's the kind of team you're going to build around Nazem Kadri as your number one center. So those are the things I'm just suggesting. That's great food for thought. It's what makes debates, wonderful to bounce around. And yet those are the things that I think the Leafs are really strongly looking at to change, like Tim Lewicki said a long time ago, the culture of this team. We've got talent. I'm not sure we have character. And again, I don't want to take it out of context for him of what he was referring to, but I think we're basically seeing what he was really referring to on this hockey club in general.
Mark Osborne in conversation with us on the Jeff Blair Show. We know that Cody Franson's likely going to be the guy that will have to assume some more minutes or step up in Dion Phaneuf's absence. Who else, Mark, should we be looking for? Is there going to need to be a systemic adjustment on the part of Peter Horacek and the coaching staff to not having Dion on the ice?
Well, systemically, but Roman Polak's that other guy, so those two guys, as far as the core leaders on the back end. What I did see, Jeff, prior to the All-Star break from Morgan Rielly and Jake Gardner was I think a much more relaxed pair of youngsters that I think are now going to see their ice time come back to the type of minutes that they've received before. You look at the numbers, both Gardner and Morgan Riley were 1-2 in that game against Ottawa. And so I think you might see more of a comfort level from those two guys. I think they're not going to be looking over their shoulders so much. I mean, at the same time, they still have to play well defensively, but I think as far as a mindset, that what I've been able to observe the last number of games is a more of a relax, you're going to play, go play your game, you're going to make mistakes, and at the same time, I think they're just going to be able to settle in and be a little bit more consistent all around and not be afraid to make mistakes. Like, if you're afraid to make a mistake, then you're going to be your own worst enemy. Mistakes are going to happen, but when you're now a little bit more relaxed, you know you're going to play, you just go out and play. And I think those guys as a pair together with their, you know, puck skills and moving ability, and hopefully with the forwards being a little bit more solidified with a defensive mindset, I think that's only going to enhance those two youngsters on the back end.
Mark, it was good of you to join us this morning. Thanks so much.
Okay, Jeff, great day to you. Take care.
Take care. That is Mark Osborne, co-host of our Leafs Nation pre- and post-game on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and Hockey Nation. Mark Osborne and Gord Stellick will have Leafs Nation pregame tonight at 7 o'clock ahead of the Devils and the Toronto Maple Leafs, which you will, of course, hear only right here on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Joe Bowen and Jim Ralph will have the call of the game. You can catch the game as well on Sportsnet Ontario, part of our Scotiabank Wednesday night hockey coverage. We're very pleased at this time to be joined by the mayor, the City of Toronto, John Tory. And Mr. Mayor, I know you're tied up with budget meetings today, but thanks for making time for us. And I'm sure I'm the 2,000th person to say this, but it's really nice having an adult in charge of things at City Hall again.
Well, you know, I think people don't expect much, Jeff, and thanks for having me on, by the way. I think they expect sort of respectable behavior, proper management of the finances, and that you, do a few things to make life better in the city. And so that's all I'm trying to do. They don't expect miracles, and I'm not going to deliver any. But, so far, so good. We'll just carry on. And what about them Leafs, though? What are we going to do about that?
Well, I was going to say, when you mentioned a miracle, you provided a perfect segue into the Leafs. Look, I mean, you're a bit of a sportsman, including a stint as commissioner of the CFL. And what role do you think professional sports plays in the life of a city, in particular this city? You know, I'm thinking of the Raptors We the North campaign, which has been a spectacular hit.
Jeff, the answer is a hugely important role. The Jays, the Argos, the Leafs, the Raptors, the FC. I mean, I think they're important, obviously, in terms of jobs and the economy and economic activity and tourists and all that. But they're also, I think, really important to the psychology of the city. And I think we all know if things are going well at work, if you're working in a business and things are going well, you feel better than if things aren't going well. And while sports isn't going to be the most important thing in anybody's life as to whether the Leafs or the Raptors or anybody else are winning or losing, if they're winning, people feel better. And the Raptors doing well this year, I think, is good for the city. I mean, look at the buzz that happened, when they had the playoff run last spring. And the Leafs, my goodness gracious, I mean, I think that for better or for worse, and I was interested, I was listening to the Fan 590 on Sunday afternoon when they were announcing the, or was it Saturday? The Saturday afternoon, they were announcing the World Cup, and I heard one of the players referring to Toronto as the hockey capital of the world, which it is. And that's why the Leafs coming and going has an even bigger impact on the psychology of the city than the Raptors or the, no offense, the Jays or anybody else. It's just, this is a hockey town, first and foremost. And so sports is important, and it's important to the psychology of the city. And I did hear Gord Stellick on the same program talking a little bit. He had a couple of guests on, Eddie Olchuk and so on, talking about how they weren't too optimistic things were going to pick up in the second half of the season. But I'm an optimist, so, you know, I think it's a little bleak right now, but better times lie ahead.
You have to be an optimist to be a mayor of a city.
Yeah.
You absolutely do.
Well, I had to be a Leafs fan.
Well, yeah, that goes without saying. We're joined by Mayor John Tory on the Jeff Blair Show. You mentioned the World Cup of Hockey. Toronto is going to be the hub. It's going to be the focal point of that competition for a couple of weeks. Is there any way of quantifying the economic impact of that event? I know it's early. It's just been announced, but I'm sure the NHLPA and the NHL have done some studies in this. I don't know if you guys have, but it would seem that that could be a pretty significant economic impact to the city if we're talking 2 weeks of of hockey every day, pretty
Jeff,
much.
I was thinking, I was commenting to some friends when I saw that announcement on Saturday that, you know, the economic impact of any of these events is millions. And think about what a great year for sports it's going to be in 2016. I was reminded of the fact the Grey Cup is here.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the NBA All-Star Game. We've got the World Cup of Hockey. And that's coming on the heels of the Pan Am Games this year. But each one of those events, because they bring people to the city, they bring media people and fans. And, you know, I was talking to a couple of people who were down in Columbus. And, you know, those people who were staying in hotel rooms and eating in restaurants in Columbus for the All-Star Game this past weekend, the NHL. This is big stuff. So I think 2016 is going to be a blockbuster year for sports in Toronto. And what you'd like to hope is beyond all the millions of dollars that do benefit the hotels and the restaurants and everything else, that we could have a winning team or more right here in the city that same year, so that 2016 would be a year we could have somebody having a parade.
I mean, speaking of the Pan Am Games, and you mentioned them, how concerned are you that that event might be dwarfed in this city? You know as well as anybody, a lot of people go to the Cottage in the summer. Some of these sports might not be enough to keep them around. And man, I don't even want to talk about traffic yet. As someone who drives into a Jays game from Hamilton on Saturday or Sunday on a regular basis, the traffic's bad at the best of times.
Traffic, I'm trying to look after, in that I've made it very clear to the province, and the city of Toronto has to approve the traffic plan. And I've said for Pan Am that I am not, presently inclined to approve a plan that, has as long a period of those lanes all being closed as they've set out, including 2 weeks before the games even start, and that I believe their definition of a high occupancy vehicle at three people should be relaxed to two for part of that period anyway. But back to your question. I mean, I think that these things, do make a huge contribution, and I think that the Pan Am Games will not be dwarfed. I think if you look at the advanced ticket sales, if you look at the fact there's going to be 10,000 athletes for Pan Am and Parapan here, and they're going to bring with them all their coaches and all their parents and their sisters and brothers and uncles and aunts, and it's going to be great. It is going to be a big event. I think that, we're just not yet into the mode because it's winter and it's cold. And have you been to see, just asking you a question, have you been to see the Aquatic Center out in Scarborough?
I am actually going to Markham for the water polo on the weekend. My daughter's a water polo player, and her club is going out there.
And through your listeners, that this is something for us to be really, really proud of. I had a chance to be out there 10 days ago and see it, and it is something to be really proud of. It is, I mean, if you'll pardon the expression, it's a world-class facility that not only has pools in it, but also has, tremendous basketball gyms. It has weightlifting training for sort of elite athletes and for people. I mean, average people to use it, before and after the games. But it is a spectacular facility, and I think that's another reason why this thing is going to be successful, because people are going to realize what it's going to do for the city in terms of great sports facilities. The fact we've never had a facility of that class in the city is really an embarrassment, mm-hmm. but now we have one.
Mayor Tory, you have mentioned, correct me if I'm wrong, you are going to be more involved with, and I don't even know the name of the committee, to be honest, but a committee that sort of oversees traffic flow for events during weekends, right? I'm talking about if there's a march or a run on the lakeshore on a Sunday where there's a Jays game, or Saturday where there's a Jays game, or where there's a Jays, Argos, and TFC game, whatever. I'm sorry, Jays, Leafs, TFC game. You're going to be more involved in the nuts and bolts, aren't you, of what gets shut down and how long it stays shut down.
Yeah, and you know what, Jeff? I won't achieve perfection, and the city government won't, but I have the schedule just because you raised it, and it was sitting on my desk. So just so people know, here I am in the mayor's office at my desk, and the schedule's right on my desk, and it's in my hand. So I can tell you that on, the 23rd of May, the Jays are playing, and the FC are playing, but there's also a subway repair plan for that day. So we're now trying to see, is that the right day to be repairing part of the subway, and maybe we can move that. So that's the discussions we're having, and the objective isn't to make it perfect. It's a busy city with a lot going on. The objective is, though, as much as we possibly can, to say, well, maybe if you've got those two sports teams playing that weekend, that isn't the best weekend to have the subway being repaired. Could you do it the weekend before? And the very fact I have the schedule literally in my hand as I'm talking to you because you asked about it is an indication that I'm on top of this, and that I think we'll do better than we've done in previous years.
In conversation with Mayor John Tory on the Jeff Blair Show, when Mr. Mayor, when Toronto Life asked you the 10 things you couldn't live without, the Argonauts came in at number 8. It's a pressing sports issue in the city right now, I guess, other than when the Leafs will win a game or who's going to take up Dion Phaneuf's minutes. The Argos, it's a pressing issue. You've said the team needs to play at BMO Field, but do you see the city getting involved financially at all and helping expedite the move, or getting involved in sort of trying to come up with a viable ownership structure for this team?
Well, we can't really be involved in ownership. I mean, at the end of the day, the best contribution we could make, and I think the previous council before my time had indicated some willingness to be involved in what was a, so people understand who are taxpayers listening out there, it was an absolutely repayable loan with interest. And I think we'd indicated a willingness to be involved in that, subject to the other governments being involved, to do the stadium, the BMO Field refit. And I still think that would be a good thing. The refit, as you know, is being done anyway. And I think it's being done largely for, I mean, it's being done for Pan Am and later purposes. But I think that's the most important thing the city and other governments could do to facilitate the Argos being stronger, because I really believe, Jeff, based on my experience with the change we made in Montreal when I was involved in the CFL, when we went to what was a big risk at the time, and we only went because there was some rock concert on, I think it was U2 or something, playing the Big O in Montreal.
U2 or Pink Floyd, I think, one
somebody
of the two.
Like that. And we said, oh, I guess we'll have to play this game in McGill Stadium, which was what it was then called. And, you know, when you pack 19,000 people in there and the place was full and you couldn't get a seat and everybody was, you know, cheek by jowl, it created a real happening. And from then on, as you know, they went on to have like 100 consecutive sellouts after that when they moved permanently. I believe the same thing would happen here. If you had a stadium of, say, 25,000 seats, it would, you know, be full. It would be a happening. People would want to try and get tickets, as opposed to now where in the Rogers Center, you know, it's half full and it doesn't feel like a happening. So I think the stadium thing is very important for the future of the Argos, and I think the future of the Argos is important to the future of the CFL. And so as mayor, obviously with a keener interest perhaps than many, because I'm a former commissioner, I will do, you know, whatever I can to help facilitate the right things happening to keep the CFL alive in Toronto and to keep the Argos as a viable proposition. I think that includes making the stadium move, if that's something that's possible.
This is going to get me into trouble, but, you know, what the hell.
Go ahead.
Why not? You mentioned the Rogers Center. It's now one of the oldest baseball stadiums in North America. At some point, it's going to need a major retrofitting. I think that we know we're talking about getting grass in there and other things. At some point in the next decade, my guess is we're probably going to be having a dialogue about a new baseball stadium in Toronto. And I'm just interested how that would fit in with your vision for the city. I know you got a lot on your table, and I don't want to throw on your plate. I don't want to throw something else on there. But how does that fit in with your vision for the city? And I guess maybe to rephrase that, Mr. Mayor, how should it fit in for your vision of the city and everyone's vision of the city? Because we're going to have the discussion at some point.
Yes, I think you're right. And I think the Rogers Center, I mean, with the sort of the way sports facilities are going these days, you know, they become obsolete faster than one might think, or out of date is a better word. But look, let me be very clear. I think in this day and age, in this country, that if you're looking at having that discussion, the city government could be there and should be there to be very supportive and to try to help with you know, the process involved in whether you relocate or whether you locate something new on the same site and so on. But that the notion that governments will be involved in this kind of thing in any kind of meaningful way financially, I don't think is going to happen. I think the taxpayers have sort of indicated they don't think that's the right way to be spending their money at a time when we can't pay, you know, as well as we might for transit or for healthcare or whatever, and that, you know, that the private sector is going to have to step up and say, you know, they're the ones that are going to find a creative way, as they're good at doing, to get a stadium built. And as you know, a lot of the stadiums that have been built in places like, you know, Dallas and elsewhere have relied largely on people deciding they're going to purchase seat licenses and boxes and so on to pay, you know, most of the cost, as opposed to turning to taxpayers. But I just don't think that role, you know, for government is one that people should count on at all, because I just think governments are hard pressed. And I think, you know, if you look at some of the precedents, Jeff, where the federal government, for example, said no, I think in where Edmonton and Quebec City, to financing stadiums, and I think they've indicated pretty clearly that's their posture. And I think here it's going to be no different. I think we're going to say, look, and, you know, if you can't pay for proper transit and proper housing, then I guess you shouldn't be, you know, rushing around paying for stadiums.
Mr. Mayor, it was great of you to join us this morning. As I said, I know it's a busy day. I know you've got budget meetings. Thanks so much.
Jeff, I'll say thank you to you as well. I'll come on anytime. It's a pleasure to talk sports. And I'm looking out my window at the stage that will be the setting one day while I'm the mayor and I'm planning to be around for a while of a Stanley Cup celebration.
Well, what you should call up Tim Lewicki. He's got some parade plans handy.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you later.
Take care. That's Mayor John Tory, mayor of the city of Toronto. And a very busy day for the mayor. There are budget meetings today. If you've been following the news, you know that. I believe it's transit budget meetings or something like that. A couple of interesting takeaways from that. And we're right up against a break here, but a couple of interesting takeaways. I really like the fact that the mayor of the city is going to be involved in the execution of the traffic plan in the city and weekend. I'm not one of those, you know, I understand the values of mass transit. I mean, I take the GO train in quite often. I get all that. But the fact of the matter is a lot of people use their cars to go to Leafs games, to go to TFC games, to go to Argos games, and to go to Blue Jays games. And anybody who's done it on a Sunday when there's a run on Lakeshore or a walk or something like that, it's a very, very difficult commute. And essentially what that means is the casual fan, the person who's sitting on the fence about whether or not they're going to go to a game, and quite often they'll just say, out of hell with it, I'll sit at home, especially if they don't have tickets. I like the fact that the mayor is actually going to be sitting in these meetings and saying, look, it's great that you want to have this run. We've got a soccer game at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturday. We've got a baseball game starting at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturday. We've got a Leafs game at night. This is unworkable. I also like the fact you've got a mayor who is going to say to the people, the province and the people running the Pan Ams, it's great that you want to shut down a lane so you can get athletes and officials to and fro from different events, but you're not going to be able to do it as often as you want because it doesn't make sense for what we need to do to keep the city moving. And I think that in and of itself is a huge improvement over what we've seen in the past. And, you know, I think, again, that's a sign of having an adult in charge of City Hall. And, you know, as for the other things, I think the mayor was pretty clear about public funding of stadiums, public financing of stadiums. And it's true, though, what he said, 2016 NBA All-Star Game, Grey Cup, World Cup of Hockey. This is going to be a happening place next year. And it's a good thing we've got a mayor in place who is interested in making sure the logistics of stuff happens. And making sure that the logistics go smoothly as opposed to just sort of accidentally happening. We appreciate Mayor John Tory joining us. If you want to follow him on Twitter, you can follow him at John Tory T-O. Got a few more thoughts about what the mayor said, and I want to take your calls. What do you think is the most pressing sports issue in the city of Toronto right now? Try to think past Dion Phaneuf and the Leafs. Do you see something that's the most pressing sports issue in the city? We'll take your calls when the Jeff Blair Show returns on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Go here, there, and everywhere with Jeff Blair. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. Now more of The Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Let me be very clear. I think in this day and age, in this country, that if you're looking at having that discussion, the city government could be there and should be there to be very supportive and to try to help with the process involved in whether you relocate or whether you locate something new on the same site and so on. But that the notion that governments will be involved in this kind of thing in any kind of meaningful way financially, I don't think is going to happen.
It's Mayor John Tory just a few minutes ago we asked him about where the idea of a new baseball stadium might fit into things. And I was the guy who more than a couple of times has been telling everybody that, you know, stop bitching about the Rogers Center because you're never going to get another baseball stadium in your lifetime. I think the mayor pretty much laid it out on the table. If you're dreaming of a new baseball stadium, one of those state-of-the-art 45,000-seat babies, 40,000-seat babies with retractable roofs and all that, if you're dreaming of that, it's going to take basically private financing to get that done. And we're going to have that discussion at some point. You know, they're putting new artificial turf in at the Rogers Center this year. At some point, there'll be grass there. But even it's well-known that Paul Beeston has been sort of seeding the ground a bit, if you want to call it that, when it comes to discussions on a new ballpark. And at some point, it's going to have to be addressed. who knows, maybe John Tory will still be mayor when we get around to that. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. So I'm not, are the numbers to call as we ask the most pressing sports issue in Toronto right now. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that a new baseball stadium is the most pressing issue, because it isn't. I think there are a lot of issues that are more pressing. You know, obviously the Argos, whether or not you like the CFL and whether or not you give a rat's ass about the Argos, you would think in a city this size, there would be a place where the football team could play. Now, I blame the Argos 98% for the fact that we're in this position. You think about it. The Argos had, they had a Grey Cup here. They've been a decently successful team recently. They had a mayor in Rob Ford who was absolutely goofy for football, along with his brother. I mean, they're just lunatics when it comes to football. That didn't help them get anything done. They've now got a mayor who's a former commissioner of the CFL and a guy who holds the Argos very dear to his heart. I mean, folks, Argos people, if you can't get something done now, you're never going to get anything done. You got a smart guy who cares about your team as mayor. You had a mayor before this mayor who was a football fan. The Argos have wasted a lot of opportunities. But whether or not you like the team, whether or not you like the CFL, and I mean, my stance in the CFL is pretty clear. I go to CFL games. I prefer the CFL to the NFL. As much as I like football, I prefer the CFL to the NFL. And I think resolving the Argos situation is pressing. But is it the most pressing issue in Toronto sports? Paul in Peterborough, you're in Sportsnet 590, The Fan. What do you think is the most pressing issue in Toronto sports right now?
Hey, Jeff, thanks for having me on.
No problem.
Well, pressing, for one, is the fact that we don't have competitive teams year after year. Consistency. I mean, the Raptors might be getting there now, but the other teams are, I think, are really struggling at that and, you know, winning.
Mm-hmm. Did we just drop Paul? I think we just dropped Paul. Are you there, Paul?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, I don't know how much you got that, but I said winning breeds like fan loyalty and excitement in the city, and we're struggling to produce consistently winning teams on all fronts. I mean, the Raptors are starting to get there.
Right.
So I think that's probably the most pressing issue right now. But why I was calling was about a new stadium for the Jays. I know we're years, decades away from that even being a physical possibility down on the waterfront, but I mean, politicians have struggled over the last few years how to beautify the downtown waterfront, what needs to be the focal point, how can they do it? Well, former Ontario Place or around that area would be beautiful for a waterfront stadium. I know an outdoor stadium, I think, is the root of baseball. I mean, we weren't meant to play baseball encased in a concrete mausoleum by any means, but I know where we live is a problem with weather, but Seattle, Philadelphia, Boston, New York, they all play outside in April.
Well, we would, and I would think, Paul, that the new stadium would have a roof. I mean, you know, like Milwaukee, a retractable roof. It makes no sense in this day and age to build a new ballpark in a northern climate and not have a retractable roof on it. It's costly. It costs extra money, but it just makes so much sense. And if you're already paying money to build a stadium, you might as well pay money to put a roof on it. One of the concerns I have with, and one of the issues with building a new, thank you for your call, by the way. One of the issues with building a new ballpark is, Bob McCowan has pointed out on Primetime Sports, I'm not entirely certain who owns the land that the Rogers Center's on right now. And I don't know if, for example, this company wanted to sell the place and build a new stadium. I don't know if they would be able to sell that land to, you know, to a condo developer, for example. I don't know who owns the land. And that's part of the issue here is, building a stadium is an expensive process. Doing it right is an expensive process. And that's before you get into the possibility of overruns. And again, I'm not saying that this is something that's going to happen, you know, even in the next 10 years. But I guarantee you this. I guarantee you that in the next 10 years, we're going to be well engaged in a discussion on whether or not we're going to have a new baseball stadium in Toronto. I guarantee you that. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I guarantee you that discussion will be held. John and Whitby, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hi, Jeff.
How are you? You've got a great point to make, and I wanted to ask the mayor this. It was on my list of things to ask him, but he was hustling away to a budget meeting. But go ahead.
Well, Daryl Sittler said hockey has become untenable for kids to pay for and their parents.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we charge, like the Toronto Maple Leafs have to fork over $250,000. So do the Montreal Canadiens and every other major league team that has to kids' sports.
Well, I mean, these teams do. Professional teams give money to sports. Professional. Well, I don't know. We don't know that, John. I don't know how much they give.
Yeah, but they
I would be willing
what
to.
You yourself have said, "What's it cost for a beer down at the
yeah, but John
Leafs Gardens?"
But John, here's the thing. You know, it doesn't matter how much money the Maple Leafs give to youth hockey in this city. The problem with youth hockey in this city is twofold. One, you've got people who look at youth hockey as a way of making money. You've got people who are making a ton of money renting out ice time, private businesses. I'm not talking about community centers. You've got private businesses that exist to make money off of youth hockey. We never talk about that. We don't have an issue about that. That is one of the single greatest issues facing youth hockey in this city. Second is the cost of equipment.
Yeah.
You know, we treat hockey equipment, let me finish, John, we treat hockey equipment like it's freaking medical equipment. The amount that you have to pay for hockey equipment is a joke. That is the biggest problem with the sport in this country is we look at it as a way of making money off our kids. Same thing with junior hockey. You've got private businessmen making money off of kids who don't get a lot of money. The World Junior Tournament. Do you think those kids saw much of that money?
None.
That is the problem. You know, you can sit there and say, well, the Leafs have got to give more. The Canadians have got to give more. That's not it. The problem is that the people in this city, the people in this country, parents have got to stand up and say this is bull. That's the problem.
I coach minor league baseball. Baseball equipment is expensive too. You can buy a baseball glove for $450.
Yeah, but you don't have to.
No.
You don't have to buy a baseball glove for $400. But it's real. You're not going to get a good pair of skates cheap.
I know.
And here's the other thing, you know, goaltending, and this is one of the problems.
Secondhand
goaltending equipment. I don't know if I want Junior using equipment that's been worn for 3 years. You know, I don't know, or 2 years.
Crap.
Exactly. And John, we got to run. I appreciate the call, and it is a big issue. We talk about a lot of stuff when it comes to hockey in this country, and we miss. We had Brian Stemmel in here the other day talking about skiing. And what did he say? You're not getting the best athletes being attracted to skiing in this country anymore. You're getting the wealthiest athletes. We're moving that way with hockey. We're getting to the point where we're pricing out a whole bunch of kids because their parents can't afford to pay all the money they have to pay to get their kid in hockey. And I don't know why we think it's okay to have people make money hand over fist off our kids playing hockey. We just shrug. This is great. Oh, that's fine. We complain about a lot of other stuff when it comes to our sports, but we don't mind some 65-year-old guy sitting at home making money running a kid's hockey team. And you know there are people out there making a ton of money. You take a look at the Greater Toronto Hockey League. It's a freaking business venture. Anyhow, enough of the soapbox. The Toronto Maple Leafs play the New Jersey Devils tonight in New Jersey. We'll have the game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. It'll also be on Sportsnet Ontario, part of our Scotiabank Wednesday night hockey. Ken Danico is the TV analyst for the New Jersey Devils. He's also a former teammate of Martin Brodeur. Martin Brodeur retired yesterday. He will be joining the front office of the St. Louis Blues. I kind of wish now that Marty had never come back and played for the Blues. I mean, I understand a guy like that gets to call the ball. A guy like that gets to say when his career is over. I have no problem with that. man, I just wish he'd shut it down with the Devils. I really do. We'll talk to Ken Danico about that. Eric Smith as well. Talk a little hoops. It's a Jeff Blair Show. This is Sportsnet 590, The Fan.